Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York, New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Town,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 16 of DVC Newscast. I am Shannon. I am back. I missed last episode. And joining me today, we have Pete.
Hey there, Shannon. Glad to have you back.
Yeah. And Jake. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Thanks for holding down the fort. I know you guys had a great discussion on all the things happening with the DVC incentives and all of that good stuff. I guess it was, you talked about incentives and
the dues,
right?
Yeah, they came out with the dues and we chatted about that for quite a while.
I try not to think about dues. I try just to pay them and
look the other way.
So I was busy and I wasn't sad to miss that episode. I just don't want to think about it. My dues did go up quite a bit. I'm an owner at Saratoga. What can you do?
In the end, that's very true. It's, yeah, it went up. You got two choices. You either sell your points or you pay.
Exactly. So before we get into today's episode, let's talk about today's sponsor, and that is Monera Financial. If you are looking to finance a new DVC membership or refinance an existing DVC membership, definitely look up our friends at Monera Financial. I know there's quite a bit of people in our My DVC Points community Facebook group who had direct contracts through Disney. They contacted Monera and have been able to save a lot of money off their contracts by just refinancing. But also, if you're looking to finance a new DVC membership, definitely call our friends at Monera Financial and they can get you started.
Yeah, they have some great rates. So exactly. I know a lot of people, Disney's rates aren't all that great.
Right.
And so if you want to, you can call Monera. You can get the loan to pay off your Disney finances through them and save quite a bit of interest.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to record today's episode because we have good news.
Finally.
Finally.
It's all good news.
And it all came out today. We are recording on Friday, November 20th. We have a little text going on between our crew here. It was like, when can you record? And I'm like, I'm free tonight. Because I was very excited to get this ported because it's just, there's just been so much, I won't say negative news, but just news that's not positive. Just stuff that's a drag to share, but it is news. And our first great big news story is that park hopping is set to return on January 1st, 2021. Woohoo!
Yes.
So guests who purchased a ticket or annual pass with Park Hopper benefits will be able to visit more than one park per day with some new modifications. With an updated Park Hopper experience, guests must make a Disney Park Pass reservation for the first park they plan to visit and enter that park first prior to visiting another. Park Hopper hours will start at 2 p.m. each day and end at the park's scheduled close time. At this time, a park reservation is not required after the first park. However, reservation requirements are subject to change. And then it says guests will be able to check DisneyWorld.com park hours and My Disney Experience app for the most up-to-date park hopper hours as they could start earlier at a later date. I think we're all excited, right?
Oh, this is awesome news. I'm a big fan of park hopping. I'm one of those Disney fans who likes to visit one park in the morning, go back to the hotel for a swim at a DVC pool, and then go back in the evening to maybe Epcot or somewhere where I can have dinner and do some last minute rides. Because right now with the current restrictions, when you go to one park and then you go back for a swim, it's hard to want to go back to the same park. So this is awesome. And it's a great way to use my annual pass. And especially if you're staying on one of those resorts, like on the monorail or in the Epcot area, this is awesome. So you could go back and forth within the two parks. So all in all, great news.
What about you, Pete?
I've become a big fan of hopping since we've been getting annual passes. We don't do a ton of hopping. I like it for the Food and Wine Festival because we like spending a lot of time in Epcot. Obviously, that's going to be passed in January. Who knows what things are going to be like by next fall. But I do like the ability, as our trip goes on, a lot of times we'll be at a park for the second day and we might be like, oh, we don't really need to go on that many things here. It'd be nice to go somewhere else in the evening. Jake said, I really like being able to say, I'm going to go to dinner at Epcot this evening and just have that reservation booked. We've been talking about that on numerous ones of our shows. And the first thing when I saw this is like, hey, Disney does listen to our show. They heard what we said and said, we got to have park hopping at night. I think it's a little odd the way they presented it because they said starts at 2 p.m.
I can tell you why it's starting at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Because you're not getting on Rise of the Resistance if you're park hopping to that park in the afternoon. That was the first thing I thought when that came out. And then I guess there was a lot of questions. And if you go to the comment section of Disney Parks blog, there was a lot of questions as far as, will we be able to get that 2 p.m. drop of Rise of the Resistance? And the Disney did
know, though.
Yeah, maybe. Disney did say in a press release, sometimes they'll say, like, you can get in at 4, but they open it up 15 minutes before. So sometimes right. You don't know. And I think that was what a lot of people were hoping, that you could maybe open the gates at 1:45. But Disney did release later today, and to help us manage attendance upon the return of the park hopper option in January, only guests with a Disney Park Pass reservation for Disney's Hollywood Studios will be able to experience Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Guests visiting from another theme park will not be able to request to join the virtual queue. I think this is totally fair. I think this is totally expected.
Definitely.
So I have no problem with this. And they also, if they were going to open it, all you were going to do was see a mad rush at 2 p.m. and it was going to be a problem.
Yeah, I was almost a little surprised that they included Hollywood Studios in this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why what they have later in this thing is they say, keep checking on the My Disney Experience for most up-to-date park hopper hours, as they could start earlier at a later date. So in other words, they're saying maybe eventually we'll move it up
right
from 2 p.m., but they don't specifically say it, but they could also move it later if they find that they're getting too many people in a park.
They could move it up, but even if they move it up, if you don't have that park pass, you're going to be prevented from getting that
Rise of the Resistance
boarding pass. Yeah. So I think that's totally fair. You know, there's some great restaurants at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Sci-Fi Diner, Hollywood Brown Derby. I know it's not a great restaurant, but I enjoy Hollywood and Vine. I know people will disagree with me, but we enjoy it as a family. It's always a regular on our itinerary. You know, there's some really good stuff. And there's, I guess, a Mamma Mia. Is it Mamma Mia's?
Mamma Melrose. I've heard is very good, but I've never eaten
that. I actually really enjoy that restaurant, Mamma Melrose. But I think it's going to be tough now with park hopping. I would still recommend to people, if you want to do Hollywood Studios, I would make that your first park, because by what I'm hearing, it might be tough to be able to park hop there at 2 p.m. since most days, even on the weekdays, are selling out at Hollywood Studios. So I would bank on just booking your park pass at Hollywood Studios and then maybe going to a park that just has more capacity, like Epcot or Magic Kingdom, since their hours are a little bit later historically.
I absolutely agree.
We don't know what their park hours are going to look like in January. Right now, I think it's 8 o'clock for Magic Kingdom. So maybe it moves back, but still, you could probably get everything done at Hollywood Studios by 2 o'clock and then head over there for a couple of hours to Magic Kingdom.
And also starting on January 1st, we didn't mention this, is that they have released that park-to-park transportation will start again on January 1st. Now, they didn't clarify. I'm assuming bus transportation is at the very least included. That makes the most sense. But they didn't clarify if that would also include the boats, monorail, anything like that.
The friendship boats are already up
friendship
and
boats
running.
Are running. Yeah.
Yeah, I would assume the friendship boats would be running. Now, I would be surprised if they didn't add the Epcot monorail from the TTC just to make it a little bit easier on people. I think that is something that definitely could be announced in the near future, but I think bus service might be your best bet for some.
I'm surprised they haven't brought that back, because the way they're doing the monorail is actually pretty easy to separate guests. They're basically allowing two groups in each compartment, one on one bench, one on the other bench, and so it's very uncrowded. I assume it's only the cost of operating the Epcot monorail line that's stopping them from doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I agree with hopping. They really should get that back up and running.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But we'll again, this is just all great news. I think we're all excited. Not going to help me. I leave in 8 days.
Me too. I leave in 2 weeks. So it's not helping me. But you know what? Having the peace of mind that it's coming back is just going to make this trip even better. Just knowing that I'll be able to experience this eventually.
I have a February trip. It did make me think, oh, that's going to be nice.
Yeah. I said, let's put a dream wait list for January at a standard studio at Grand Floridian, because, you know, those are just really hard to come by for Martin Luther King weekend. Lo and behold, about a week ago, I went into my account and it had gone through. I didn't get a notice that it had gone through, but it had been.
They do that a lot. But
yeah, that was the first time that's happened to me. I wasn't sure if I was going to keep it, but today's announcement, we're keeping it. So this was like the clincher for us. And I mentioned before we started recording, the only thing about this, at least for people within a driving distance, I have a lot of friends planning to go same time. They always go sometime between the first 2 weeks of December. I had two friends who aren't, I won't say aren't Disney people. They like Disney. They have annual passes, but they're not a Disney fanatic like myself. Both texted me and one had already decided to change their trip to January, and the other one was seriously thinking about it and was asking me what I thought, and then later in the day said that they did change it. I'm curious. I didn't even think about changing our trip. It wasn't an option for us. I don't think it's an option for DVC members. We're going no matter what. But I thought that was interesting, that I wonder if there would be people, because of the timing, if they had waited to maybe the first week of December to make this announcement, but the timing, at least people that are within that 4 to 5 hour drive, I think some people might push their trip back.
But I wonder if they waited till January 1st because they saw they already have a decent number of people coming for the holidays.
Oh, for sure.
In January, then January 1st, it's nobody coming. People have been clamoring for this. Maybe this will boost attendance in January. Yeah.
And I don't think they need people to come in Christmas. I think they're hitting capacity. If you look at the park pass reservations, they're definitely hitting capacity, which is great.
Especially if we want the things that we love so much, like fireworks and Festival of the Lion King, which everybody loves, things like that. It's going to take enough people for them to justify opening those things up. And again, those things absorb crowds. So maybe it'll all just work in clockwork.
Yep, absolutely. And we have, I think, another one of the All-Stars. I think All-Star Movies is opening in February. So normalcy is coming back slowly but surely. Moving on to the next story, I did just mention that I did have that dream waitlist come through for Grand Floridian Villas. And today, the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa Walkway to Magic Kingdom finally opened. It opened today.
Walkway watch is over.
It is over, exactly. So between this, the park hopping announcement and the walkway being open, I was like, yeah, we're going in January. I did watch touring plans today, did basically a walkthrough, and they said it's about a 10 to 12 minute walk. It's probably just about a mile. So it's a good walk. It's not a short walk. Having stayed at Cabana Bay, it's probably about the same as Cabana Bay to Universal Studios. I would want to take the monorail there because that's just fast, or the boat. But sometimes walking back, taking the monorail can almost be very time consuming because you have to go the whole loop. Have you guys taken a look at the pictures and everything online?
I actually really like it. I think it came out really nice. It's really wide, a lot wider than I thought it was going to be from when it was in construction. For me personally, being a transportation fan, I love the monorail and I love the boats and the buses. So this might not be an option for me when I stay over at Grand Floridian. But nonetheless, I think it's great that they added a third option to get to Magic Kingdom, the most of any resort at Walt Disney World. Every single other resort, even the Contemporary, only has two ways of getting to Magic Kingdom. Now you have three. So it makes anybody who owns at Grand Floridian, or if you're staying cash at Grand Floridian, a lot more valuable to stay there.
And I think that was the one thing that Bay Lake always had over Grand Floridian, is that walkable access. Bay Lake and Contemporary are much closer. It's now not the only resort that is walkable to Magic Kingdom. So I think it's fantastic. I'm excited. There's never a line to walk. You never have to wait for a wait to be able to walk. So
yeah,
I
agree. I don't have the best of feet. I have to wear orthotics and everything. Uh-huh. But I actually have more trouble standing than I have walking. The last trip there with all the long lines really hurt my feet, not because we were necessarily walking a lot, which we did walk a lot of distances, but it really was the standing and waiting that really bothered me. The walking usually isn't so bad. I think I'm the opposite of you, even though the handiness of the direction on the monorail is better going to it. I'm more likely to take that path in the morning and be like, oh, I don't have to wait for the monorail. I can just hop on the path. Do you know where the security is going to be for the path?
It's on the path. I think it's near the monorail.
But it's close to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it's close to Magic Kingdom.
They're not going to make you go around to where the resort buses are. I think that's going to be the new security stand so that it's just you. So I'm assuming it's going to be a very short walk since all the people on the monorail are already being checked at the resorts.
Right. That's what I was thinking. It was going to be similar to what they're doing from the Contemporary, which is just a single station, but the times we walked from the Contemporary, there was basically nobody there. It's pretty quick to get through, but they're going to have something similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great. And again, just more good news. This next story has you guys written all over it. It is that Disney Vacation Club holiday offer and cyber savings. So they've announced their cyber savings special, where prospective members can save up to $5,000 when they purchase by December 4th, and current members looking to add on direct they're offering an additional $450 on top of the regular holiday savings from now through December 11th. What do you guys think of these cyber savings?
I admit I didn't look at the details of it, because anytime it says something like that, save $5,000, it might mean you got to buy 500
points. Like 1,000, yeah.
I didn't look at it specifically, and I'm just popping it up right now, but up to 150 to 200, a 3-point adder, and above that, a 5-point adder. So it's a little bit extra over what they're already saving on these resorts. So it's an interesting thing, right? We just, I think two shows ago, talked about the current offers, right? And now all of a sudden, here's an extra $5. So I don't know if that means that the latest offers haven't gotten the sales they wanted. The cyber savings is only through December 4th. So for those of you looking to add direct for a Christmas present for your loved one, this is the time to do it, it looks like.
Yeah, I think this is pretty standard for what they've done in the past around the holidays, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. They're just probably doing a little bit earlier due to them wanting to sell. I think the biggest thing here is the $450 for current DVC members, which all of us got that email a couple days ago. But everything else is just pretty much the same as the holiday incentives. Maybe they took off a couple dollars at maybe the newer resorts and just gave it a new name. But again, not out of the ordinary, pretty standard, but nice if for those looking to add on a Christmas gift.
Yep.
I'm still going to DVC resale first.
Oh, me too. I just got a resale contract myself. So this is not putting me over the edge to get one.
Yeah, your poly contract went through?
Yes, my poly contract went through at $143 a point for 80 points. So not bad at all for a small contract, and I'm on the monorail loop. So that wraps me up at 3, and I think I'll be good for like the next 10 years after that. I'm done.
So you're good for 4 nights a year or one night in a bungalow every 2 years?
Yeah. So I go for 4 nights. I try to go every other month, every third month for 4 nights. This is perfect. It's one extra trip that I get a year at a resort that has pretty low dues. So I think I did pretty well on it.
So again, if you're looking to add on direct, definitely look into these cyber savings, because you could save, you know, quite a bit of money right now if you get in before either December 4th or December 11th happens to be my son's birthday. So I think it's a great date. But
that is a great date, because mine's the 14th.
So. Yeah, there we go. So we'll move on to our next story. And again, another positive story, and that is Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will open in 2021. Joss D'Amaro confirmed that the brand new trackless attraction in Epcot's France Pavilion, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, will be opening sometime in 2021. We don't have a date yet. We don't even have a month or a season or nothing, but we do have a year. So that's good. I have heard that the ride's done. It's basically done. They could open it today. It's ready to go.
My guess is it's going to open when they normally open new rides, and that's going to be May or June.
I think when they need to pick up attendance is when they're going to open it. Right now, Christmas, they don't need to. People are going to come, locals, and I think it's going to be, how do we get locals? When they need to get locals into the park is when they're going to open it. There's a big special sing-along. The Disney sing-along is going to be, I believe it's November 30th, is another ABC Disney sing-along. I think there's going to be another holiday special as well. I have a feeling we might see some advertisements for Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, and my guess would be they may release a date or time frame, maybe a season, summer, spring, whatever, on one of those specials. We actually, the first time we watched Ratatouille was on our Disney cruise in February, and from the pool, which was fun. It's a great movie.
It's my probably my favorite animated Disney movie, or certainly a favorite animated Pixar movie, and I'm really excited for the ride. I would call this marginally good news because we all remember that it was announced to be open May 2020 and it didn't open. So
right.
Just because they announced that it's going to open in 2021 doesn't really mean it.
Disney wasn't open in, nothing was open in May right, of 2020.
Exactly. But I'm just saying it could be open now if they really wanted right. it to be. So it's good that they're saying, yeah, we're going to open it, but without a real date. Could be next December. Let's just see what happens. It'll be there eventually. It's built. It's not like they're not going to open it, but
no.
And have you guys seen, just since we're on Epcot, have you seen the renderings for the Harmonious barges that will serve as fountains during the day?
I saw the main barge going up and it looks massive.
They look massive, it's but they're huge. Going to be fountains during the day. So I'm interested, like, oh wow, this is going to be really probably the last time I got to see the lake at Epcot be still, because once those, you know, fountains, it's going to definitely change the landscape there.
I'm super excited for it. I was never a big fan of illuminations to begin with.
Me either.
So this, any change is a good change. And going back
to... I liked Epcot Forever.
Yeah, I'm just not an illuminations fan.
I did like Epcot Forever, and I wish it had been around a little longer than it was. I was always thinking the irony of the name Epcot Forever, that it was like only there
the
for like
show.
5 months. But it ended up being even shorter.
Yeah, because it was there October 1st, it started, right. And then it was there for less than 6 months. We got to see it twice.
Oh. I saw it twice also.
Yeah.
So I think this is all good stuff happening at Epcot. 2021 is looking really good for Epcot. And going back to Remy real quick, Pixar is one of my favorite brands that Disney has, and I love Ratatouille. And I think, like Shannon said, these are two big things that Disney has in their back pocket, and I think they're going to choose wisely when they're going to release them, because I think it'll really help business once they release them. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it later on into the summer, maybe into the 50th, right around the 50th. I think that would be a stretch.
It'll be way before then. They won't hold it that long.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I just think they're going to be very picky onto when they decide to release it.
Now, with that, we also didn't mention the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster, and they showed some preview of that, and they actually put the cars on the track this week, and it looks pretty cool. I'm excited about it. It's definitely going to be a different experience, but it didn't give me flashbacks of Primeval World. I don't know if you all I loved Primeval World. I was sad that it's closed.
Than that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely better than that, but it was like, oh, it's a little Primeval World.
I like that they called it the Omni Coaster to tie into the Omni Mover vehicles, but it doesn't really look like it's going to be a continuous stream of cars going on the track either.
No, and it seems like it's going to stop for scenes, and I hope it doesn't stop too much because I like coasters. And
I think we're looking at, for comparison, I think we're looking at Gringotts.
Yes. Yes.
Which is a coaster that stops occasionally and turns in the direction of the screens. I think it's going to be something similar to that. Not to say it's going to be identical at all, but it's going to be that same kind of thing where you're on a coaster track and your car turns to see the scenes and it'll stop at times. That's my prediction, but that's not with any knowledge.
Right.
But yeah, and the other thing that didn't get mentioned is Space 220, which
yes.
is supposedly was going to be open in the spring and does not have an announced date, but that should be opening in 2021 as well.
Yep.
Yeah, but they did show the renderings of the, I guess it's a pod at the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, one of the sleep
like a little rooms. Cabin. It looks like a cruise cabin. Yeah.
It looks like an indoor. It looks like not even a cruise cabin. It looks like an inside cabin.
Yeah.
That's going to cost $1,000 a night.
Right.
Yeah. It's like an experience from what I hear. It's like a 2-night thing where spend time at, like we all know, at Disney's Hollywood Studios and the Star Cruiser. And me, who, when I go on a cruise, I need a veranda because I get very cramped. I don't know if this would be great for me, and I also think it's going to be extremely expensive. But for Star Wars fans, I think this is going to be a really fun thing, and I'm super
excited
to see.
There's a lot of things that can be an experience. The Waldorf can be an experience.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is not up my alley at all. I'm not a Star Wars fan.
But I'm going to tell you, totally knew the rooms were going to be small because it's, you're on a luxury space cruiser. Hey, right. The rooms are small. What can we do? It's a space cruiser.
Yeah, like 150 square feet.
Yeah.
But I think if you thought you were gonna go on with four of your buddies, it doesn't look like those bunk beds could fit adults.
No, it definitely looked like a two adult, two children type of room. Yeah.
So I don't know, but my husband will probably do it with his brother at some point.
I'm definitely doing it. I'm not going to say I'm going to be first in line because I'm not typically that guy. I would imagine I would be very surprised if I haven't done it in the first year it's open.
Yeah, that's great.
I also think that regardless of how expensive it is, they're probably going to start at a price point that's, I think, a little lower than people expect because they're going to be unsure.
Right.
And then they're going to raise it because that's what they do with everything. Look at it like Be Our Guest, which opened at a very reasonable price point, and now you got to pay $70 to eat there.
Yep.
And when it first opened, you could have dinner there for $25. And I think the same thing's going to happen with this. Not that it's going to start out cheap, but I think it's going to start out at a more reasonable price than people think, but will rapidly inflate.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. We'll go on to our last story. And this is, again, just another positive story that additional dining options are coming soon to Walt Disney World. We have Woody's Lunchbox in Toy Story Land. That is opening, I believe, November 25th. Crystal Palace on Main Street USA is opening December 13th. And then Tomorrowland Terrace in Tomorrowland will be opening on December 17th. And if you looked at the menu for Tomorrowland Terrace, basically it's the menu, it looks like it's the menu from Columbia Harbor House. So, because Tomorrowland Terrace, it's one that's a seasonal quick service, but it's outdoors, it's open air, so it's very great. I think it's a great location to reopen because of the space. It has a lot of space, a lot of ways to social distance or physical distance, and then it's outdoors. So I think it's a great location to reopen. I will miss the ones at Magic Kingdom, but Woody's Lunchbox will be open in time for my trip. I've never eaten there.
I haven't either because it's always been too crowded. So right. It'll be interesting to see what it's like when it opens because it's the seating there is not great.
Yeah,
it's very tightly packed and not a lot of area and also out in the sun.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of complaints about Toy Story Land in general to that point, but I really don't get why you would have uncovered seating
right
at a restaurant in Florida.
You can just go there and walk over to Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
But again, it's just more normal, headed into the right direction. The more things get open, this just means more cast members are being called. I saw on Twitter the other day, it was a girl, she had a picture of herself, and so many people had liked it. But she was just like, this is a picture of a person who just got called back to work after 8 months of being on furlough. So to see those tweets and then see thousands of people like those tweets is just amazing. Because when we see these things opening up and reopening, it's not just more options for us. That just means more people are coming back to work. And it's just great.
Yeah, so, this is awesome. Especially at a restaurant like Crystal Palace, that takes a lot of people to put that show or put that experience together. It's a really big restaurant. And Tomorrowland Terrace was a bit of a shock for me because that's a rare unicorn to open up since they usually use that area for the dessert party. But now since there's no fireworks and no dessert party, I think it's the perfect place to do outdoor seating. I will definitely try to go there first over places like Cosmic Rays that are indoors just because I prefer to eat outdoors during these times.
Then you don't get Sunny Eclipse.
Yeah, but we're in COVID. I think it's really good. And I love the menu at Columbia Harbor House. So just shifting it over to Tomorrowland Terrace, I think it's just an awesome option. And more people back to work, more places that will absorb crowds. All in all, can't complain about anything that we read about today.
Just to clarify, Crystal Palace will not be coming back with characters at this time. So it will be family style, but there's not going to be characters. I feel like they will probably add characters in the future. They are adding them at Chef Mickey's. I think that they will probably add them in the future. But again, it's just more space because definitely Magic Kingdom was definitely lacking some places to eat. So we have two new options in, the busiest time of the year. So this is
and
great.
I'm kind of curious because I love Crystal Palace, not the Winnie the Pooh experience necessarily, but I love the restaurant as far as like being inside it. To me, it feels very Disney World. We used to go there when our daughter was smaller. We'd go there for the character experience. To me, now the prices at a point where you don't care about the characters anymore, the prices are too high to me for a buffet if I don't care about characters. So I don't typically do it. So I'll be curious to see if the prices are a little bit more reasonable for a non-character experience. If it's more in the $35, $40 range, we might do it because I really enjoy that restaurant a lot. And we went there our very first trip, my wife and I, ever took. And that was before it was a Winnie the Pooh character.
Right. You
know, I would be interested in going there in February if it is a more reasonable priced meal than the usual, whatever it is now, $55 for a buffet.
Well, you just got me thinking that I might try and book it now because we're not big Winnie the Pooh fans. And we did it once and it was our least favorite buffet. We actually enjoyed Hollywood Vine much better. And we've never been back since. It also helped that they didn't serve wine at the time, and I had a 2-year-old. That did not go over well. Yeah, I think we might add that to our January trip. It's a beautiful space. It's a beautiful space.
Yeah, I love Crystal Palace, even when Winnie the Pooh and friends were there. And just always, it just screams Disney. That the ambiance is awesome. You're on Main Street, USA. The restaurant's awesome. And I've always really liked the food there. Even when it was a buffet, I always thought it was really good. Breakfast, lunch, dinner across the board. And it's just a great vibe, a great ambiance. So I'm really looking forward to maybe doing it on my next trip if they're open. So
yeah, we had good food experiences there as well, as opposed to Chef Mickey's, which is the only restaurant that I won't go back to. But with that downer of an ending.
I hope we do more episodes like this. I think this is fun. I probably won't be back on the show until after I'm back. Yeah, after I'm back from my trip. So I'm sure there'll be an episode while I'm gone, but I'm sure you guys will hold down the fort for me. I'm excited. This week was the first time I started really getting excited about the trip because I really hadn't had a chance to get excited. And the news today just got me excited about, even though the news today doesn't really affect the trip in 8 days, it still got me excited about it.
It's a different experience. And our October trip was not, I wouldn't say was our best trip ever, but it's still going to Disney and it's still magical and you're going to have a great time.
Absolutely. So I'm excited. With that, I guess we will say see you real soon. And thanks for joining us, everyone.
Adieu, everybody.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.